Today we begin a series of conversations that are all about the mechanics of manifesting. And what we mean by this is we want to go through the manifesting process, which is not a process, and talk about the individual steps, which are not individual steps, and how manifesting works. There are, of course, three dilemmas in having this conversation. One is it's not a process. Two is there are no steps that are discrete and separate from each other. And the third one is that it's almost impossible to talk about this because in talking about it, we're talking about what is actually happening that makes it possible to talk about it. So manifesting, first and foremost, is not something that you do as a possible tool. We've heard many, many times the idea, and Frank once heard someone say, I'm going to go law of attraction this, as though there was another way to have it. You are sitting at the center of a physical form that is your body first and then extends out into the ambient environment that you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. The ambient environment, the physical reality that you are seeing, hearing, etc., is only as big as it needs to be. The point of doing this, by the way, is that you, as a being of light, have very deliciously decided to, instead of having the oneness of who you are, to have the diversity of who you are. To take ideas and split them into pieces, to use time and space as a way of encountering these ideas. We do understand that it sounds like in these conversations that we're talking about the fact that you don't understand this or you don't believe this. And so we're going to tell you what is really going on. But that's not what's really happening ever. You already know this. You already understand this. And you just don't necessarily remember that you do. Because you've spent a lot of time convincing yourself, overlaying an extent, understanding, and deep connection to the fullness of who you are with ideas about your individuation, which was exactly right. But as we've said many times, we know that if you're here in these conversations, listening to these words, and are not offended by them, that the time for the study of individuation has come to a halt. And we don't mean that you spend any time that was wasted or that you shouldn't have or that you should have done this and not that or this and not that. What this means very specifically is physical reality is something that you now have an awareness of and are beginning to remember more and more and more, that this physical reality that you once thought was objective and finite and very, very, very shared by everyone around you, and that there was agreement about what it is, that all of that is just part of your individuation journey. That's just thoughts that you developed over time in order to be able to have this experience. And now, we like to call this the bonus period, you remember that you are having a manifesting reality and that this is one of many, and that it is not the finite, it is something that is actually quite unlimited, and it's not governed by any external rules. It is governed by you. You are deciding for having this, and you are deciding to be in it, and you are deciding to participate in it, and you are deciding for that which is manifest. Now, part of the dilemma in a conversation like this is that it seems like there would be a logical notion about how this works, such as a process with discrete steps, wherein you can define what manifesting actually is. Those are the three dilemmas we identified at the beginning. But it isn't a process, and it is not, does not contain discrete steps. It's a whole, W-H-O-L-E. It's one entirety, one, because that's who you are. But in the same way that we say you are unconditional love, and that through the prism of contrast in your desire, you've broken unconditional love up into pieces like freedom, joy, love, delight, magic, wonder, abundance, and that those rays of light now are taking shape as thoughts, and those thoughts are now taking shape as form. The further away you get from the prism of desire and contrast, the more finite and narrow and measured things are. So by the time it arrives as form, if you can interact with it with the form of your body, you can see it or hear it or taste it or touch it or smell it. You're now at what we would consider to be the end of the line. It doesn't go any further than this. Now you're in the feedback loop. Now, using your body, you're now observing the ideas you've extended out beyond you in order to play with them, quite literally, for the delight of it, for the magic of this. Not because of any obligation or necessity to accomplish anything, but because this is what delights you. This is what feels better. So today being the day of your great good, and now being the time, and here being the place where everything is happening, and this being the moment where all is well, wonderful things are occurring. You're sitting in the middle of them. And we are not trying to convince you of this. You are literally sitting in the middle of them. You may, however, be accustomed to analyzing what you are sitting in the middle of. Now, we've alluded to this already, but we'll say it now quite explicitly. Manifesting reality is happening with or without your participation. You do not have to be consciously focused on the manifesting of reality. Most of it, the vast majority, 99.0% of what you're sitting in the middle of, is manifesting by default. Breathing in and out, gravity, running water, electricity, all the things we've named many, many times. These things are happening. And you, from the place that you're listening to these words and thinking about what they mean within the scope of your personality. And your personality, by the way, is your sense of self that's using your body to identify as being self with a name. You've given yourself a name, or maybe you got other people to give you a name, and you're using it, and you're saying, I am this person. I am not the table. I have a table, but I am not the table. I am not the chair, but I have a chair. I am not the bird outside, but there is a bird outside. So you are sitting at the center of this physical reality where it exists, a table and a chair and a bird outside. Physically, logically, we've just described four different entities. You, the table, the chair, and the bird. You are not defined by any of these things, but you're using them for the delight of the experience of the havingness. The delight of the experience of the havingness, because havingness is a thing that you are experiencing for the purpose of the delight of that. Now, you can do anything you want to with this. This is your garden. It is your playground. You did not come here to learn anything. You did not come here to become a better person. You did not come here to work your way through the karmic wheel. You did not come here to forgive yourself for past transgressions. You can use those as ideas that amplify what you're wanting more of, but that's not what you're here for. Just by the same token, you can have as much cash as you want, as much cash. But you have no obligation to pay anyone for any reason, ever. We're not saying you shouldn't. We're not saying you should. We're just saying that the reason why you manifest cash is not so that you can pay somebody. The reason why you're manifesting cash is to have the cash for the fun of it, which may include paying. When we talk about the mechanics of manifesting, a lot of what this conversation is likely going to be about is about essentially relaxing the way you look at the world around you. And as much as you think you are relaxed about this, it is likely there is much more relaxing that you can have, which is always very delicious. We're going to invite you to remember that there is a logical way to look at something and there is a metaphysical way to look at something. And even in the metaphysical way, there's still a certain kind of logic. There's a logos, because there is going to be speech about this. That is what is happening right now as these words are being strung together. Like, for example, the fact that the brown dog jumped over the lazy fox. That's a string of words that are put together in a way that makes sense to you, translated into your eardrums. Your brain then uses that to pass data over to your mind where you decide what these things mean. So likely, one of the reasons we say that phrase the way that we do is that it's backwards. The correct way of saying it is the brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. But we like to mess things up a little bit, sort things up, and shake things up. It's actually a brown dog and the fox that's being lazy. And normally foxes are not conceived to be lazy because they're running around doing things, very foxy. It's dogs who are lazy because they're sleeping in the sun. That's what dogs do. Or is it? That's part of what this conversation is about. And it's not about dogs or foxes that are brown or lazy or otherwise. It's about the fact that things are not as they seem. What you have assumed about physical reality and your role in it is likely very limited and very finite, and you are not in a finite, limited experience. You are the one defining whatever degree of finiteness this physical reality has. And again, one of the contributions or one of the aspects of that is the fact that it's only as big as you need it to be. But if you want to, you could build a rocket ship and propel yourself to outer space and see the entire big blue marble and rotate around it. Like you could go to the space station and watch, sit in the window as your potato chips fly by and look down on the big blue marble and watch as, you know, you see all the different clouds and you see the continents and you see the oceans and all the different features that you can see from that many feet or meters away. You're not here to fix anything. You're not here to make anything happen. You're not here to get things done. You're not here to finish anything. You are here to have the delight of it. And that brings us to the most essential part of this conversation. How long are you here? It's likely you think you're here for 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years. But you're only here for a few seconds, minutes, maybe. So physical reality is a hologram, an on-demand, highly efficient hologram. Your hand placed on the table, you can feel the table under your hand. You can feel the temperature difference. The table is likely cooler than the surface of your hand, and you'll notice this. You can feel the texture, whether it's smooth or pebbly or slightly rough or whatever it may be, under your hand. But your hand is not you. You have a hand, but you're not defined by it. You're using the hand to negotiate your experience of the table havingness, as you're so also using your eyes. And then you're using other objects, like you put a pen on the table, and the pen does not fall through the table. It is held by the table. That's you. We know you don't remember going to some classroom somewhere and trying to figure out how to do tables and pens and hands and things, but because, of course, no such thing happened. But you did learn how to do this to a certain extent. But the learning of this is not the point. In fact, the learning period of your experience is likely to come to an end. Now you're in the deep experience of it, the bonus period, where you're aware of who you are in relationship to what you're having, and everything is happening here on your behalf and to your benefit, and it's wonderful and delicious and delightful indeed. The mechanics of manifesting is a conversation that is about something that doesn't exist. There is no process of manifesting. There are no discrete steps. and you're not actually doing anything. But you do believe you are. And that belief is the whole center of this conversation. You believe that you are here because you need to be here, because it's important, because it's significant. And if that feels better, then you're on the right track. If that feels crushing or difficult, then we recommend you change your mind about that. You're here for the delight of it. You're here for the delight and the magic and the wonder and the amazement and all of the goodness that is here. You are here having that, not because you need to, but because it feels better. Today, again, is the day of your great good. And now is the time, and here is the place where everything is happening and all is well. The bottom line is you're manifesting physical reality because you want to, because it's your desire to play with your ideas and stretch them out through time and space. You're not obliged to anything. You're not defined by any of this. You're the one doing the defining. Another really easy way to put this is there are no objective aspects to this. There's nothing that you and another person can say, that's a red ball. You can say that and you can get the other person to agree with you or to disagree with you for that matter. But the bottom line is you're in the right place at the right time in the right way with the right things right here and right now. And everything that is happening here is happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. This is where it's happening. This is where all the good is occurring. This is where the magic is at. And all of it is quite wonderful. This is the introduction. This is where we begin. It is certainly not where we end. And although we will say there is no manifesting process, there are no discrete steps to manifesting, and you're not really doing anything because this is all a dream, an illusion, a hologram, we're still going to talk about it as though it were, because that's the other thing that's going on here. The thing about physical reality and manifesting yourself as an idea with a body moving about with other objects that you believe are finite and are being thrown at you randomly, but are actually subject to you and are not random at all. The whole point of having this conversation is to point out the fact that you do believe that manifesting is an act. You do believe it's a process. You do believe it has discrete steps. And that makes sense with how you've trained yourself to do other things like algebra. And we're going to use that, as we've been doing for quite some time. But we want to talk about it in this way to start things off, because this points to the thing that is at the center of all of this. There is a great paradox at play here. The heart of this paradox is one very, very simple thing. You are a being of light and one with all things, believing that you are an individual, separate and distinct from all things. And they're both true at the same time. You are one with the table, but yet you identify as the body you have that has the table, or is near the table, or is by the table, or for all we know, under the table, or above the table, or on top of the table. Next to the table, 5 feet away from the table, aware of the table in the other room. But you and the table, from your here is my name perspective, are not the same. But from the being of light perspective, where the table and the table is you. Now, interestingly, the table in many ways is a lot smarter than you. The table knows who it is in relationship to you. The table knows that it's an idea in your mind and that it's an extension of you. The potted plant knows the same thing. As we've talked before, the squirrel and the cat and the dog to a certain extent know this, but the tree definitely knows it. The cloud knows it. Blades of grass know it. They all know who they are in relationship to you, but yet they stand forth. The tree stands forth in its tree-ness and does not believe once that it's human. And doesn't completely understand this whole running around really fast at the speed of light thing that you human beings do, as it just stands there and kind of gently pushes up towards the sky and expands its bark. And then invites all these little ants to run up and down it to clean it so that it feels nice and scratched. The paradox, the great paradox that is at the center of all of this, is that there is no manifesting process, but there is a manifesting process. There are no discrete steps, but there are discrete steps. They're both true at the same time. Logic fails here because logic has a very linear course, and it's very useful for the things we've mentioned before, baking cakes and building bridges and anything else that requires a recipe of some sort, where you start here, go through these parts, and then end at this point, and you know when the beginning is, and you know when the end is, and you know what the middle part is, and you know what the goal is, to have a piece of bread to have with your soup, or to walk across a river without falling in. In this series of conversations, we are here to remind you of who you are by using the tool of the conversation about the mechanics of manifesting. There are no mechanics, for there is no manifesting, except for the part where there is manifesting and there is a mechanical aspect to it. These are both true. We'll be talking about the great paradox again and again and again. But the paradox is at the source of all of this. It's the reason why we're even talking about it. It's the reason why this exists. And the paradox is, you are a being of light at one with all things, while also believing and being right about the fact that you're a human being having a manifesting experience with individuation, like a table and a chair and a bird and your body. So with that, we bring this conversation to an end, and we now go into the process for the beginning of this series. This process is an offering that you can participate or stand back and observe, as it is your pleasure to do so. And with that, we begin the process with these following words.